I have discovered a new raging controversy on the internet, and it involves these seven men. That's right, the seven dwarfs, yep, Snow White fame, and it all centers around the little ditty that they seem to sing all of the time. The controversy centers on the chorus in that. There's one side that says the little guys are singing, "Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go." And then there's the other side that says, "No, no, 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 it's hi-ho, hi-ho, it's home from work we go." Now, I looked at dozens of websites, and I couldn't come up with conclusive evidence of which is the proper interpretation. I'd like to point out, this is the kind of in-depth research I do for you every week. So while the little guys don't know whether they're coming or they're going, I find even more troubling than that is some of the other lyrics of their song. So for instance, it goes this way. It says, "We dig, dig, dig from early morn till night. We dig, dig, dig everything in sight. We dig up diamonds by the score, 1,000 rubies, sometimes more." But it's the last line that really is troubling when they say, "But we don't know what we dig them for." Now, isn't that a sad commentary? Not of the seven dwarfs, but I think for a lot of people. We get so busy, we have so many activities, things to do, but we're not sure we know why we're doing them. Some people have even built an entire career and might wonder, "But I don't know what for." Is that all life is that we have tasks to complete, we got jobs to get done, and then there's nothing else after that? Well, the good news is that's not true for Christians. You see, we've been given a new life in Christ, and we have a higher calling to our life, and that higher calling means that everything we do in life, all the jobs we do, all the tasks that we do, they have a higher meaning in life. It's an opportunity for us to respond back to God. It's an opportunity for us to serve God. So we're on our path of how do we answer God's call? How do we answer this call to a higher calling in our life? And this week what we discover is that we need to move from task to ministry. We need to move from just a bunch of things that we do, jobs to get completed, to see that it has a higher purpose. That's an opportunity to serve God, to respond back to God, to be involved in the ministry that God has given us. Now, if we're going to make this move, I believe it requires two things of us. We need to change two things. We need to change our attitude, and we also have to have a change in perspective. So there's a change in attitude, right? Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to think of some chore, something that you do on a regular basis that you don't like. Maybe it's at home. Maybe it's at work, right? We all have these things that we don't like. So for instance, for me, my top two, right? Taking care of the kitty litter and cleaning the bathroom, okay? Those, though, I hate both of those. I loathe both. In fairness, I don't deal much with the cat litter, okay? But when I do, I hate it, right? And bathrooms, now that one's on my agenda each and every week, and I don't like it, right? All right, so if you got something in your mind, something that you do that you just don't like to do, some of you are scowling, you've got it. All right? You understand what I'm talking about. Would it be safe to say that you have a negative attitude towards that job? It's safe to say that I have a negative attitude towards those jobs, right? So here's the question. If we have this negative attitude, how does that negative attitude serve you? How does that negative attitude serve you? If you're like me, you'll put that job off as long as you can. And given my two top choices, that does not bode well for me, okay? But we'll put it off as long as we can. And then while we're doing that task, right, we're in misery the whole time, correct? Because we don't want to do it, right? We're probably grumpy with the people around us. Maybe we say things that we regret until the thing is finally done. And then we probably still huff off and carry it with us a little while longer. I cannot think of one redeeming quality of a negative attitude towards our work. I can't think of one redeeming quality, right? It just makes something bad even worse. So here's the deal. What would happen if we moved from "I have to do this" to "I get to do this"? Now, I know that's a challenge. I get it. Trust me, right? That's a big movement. It's a big movement from I have to do this to I get to do this, right? Perhaps what would help is to understand that God created us to work. We're created to work. Sometimes we get the misperception that before the fall, that there was no work. That's simply not true. I'll show you. Go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. This is before the fall into sin, right? Adam and Eve, they're living in paradise. And it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it, right? They had jobs to do. So sometimes we get the picture that before the fall, Adam and Eve are just standing around the garden. What you want to do today? I don't know what you want to do today. I don't know what you want to do today. No, they had work to do. All right? Now, nature wasn't working against them, okay? But they were to care for the garden, right? Work gives us a reason to get up in the morning, right? The things that we have to accomplish, right? It gives satisfaction when the job is done. I don't like cleaning the bathroom, but when it's done, it's like, all right, good for another week, right? That's why God created us this way. Now, couple that with what Paul says to the church at Colossae, chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. Well, that's a game changer, right? So that whatever we do, you notice there's no qualifiers on that. He didn't say, whatever you do in the church, you know, whatever you do as far as praising me. No, he said, whatever you do, work at it heartily because you're working for the Lord. You're not just working for men. You're not working for people. See? That changes our attitude towards the things that we have to do. All of a sudden, now, I'm not just doing a chore, but this is a way in which I can respond back to God. This is a way in which I can serve God, right? So if we can have a change of attitude from this is something I have to do, right, to this is something I get to do. Now, we still might not enjoy it, right, and we not like it, but at least we're not so negative about accomplishing it. Right? The second change is that we have to change from our perspective on things. Right? So there's a change in attitude, then a change in perspective. How do we view our work? You know, how do we see it? Right? And it begins with this. It has to be more than a task to be completed. If all it is a task to be completed, that's pretty empty. It's pretty hollow. Even if it's a job that you're pretty neutral on, right? Even it's something that you have to do that maybe even enjoy. But if it's empty, if it's just a task, a job's done, there we go. There's nothing more to it, right? We got to move beyond that. Let's bring it down to the congregation, all right? So we could look at it this way. If you served as an usher this morning, you could say my perspective is, yeah, well, I handed out bulletins, and I'll help take the offering. About it. If you put up the communion ware, well, yeah, I'm in the altar guild, so I put the stuff on the altar because somebody had to, otherwise we wouldn't have communion. If you're working with the landscapers, well, the lawn has to get mowed, the bushes got to get trimmed, and all the things that happen around here. If it's just a task to be completed, that's pretty empty. It's almost meaningless. And you might get the idea. You might get the idea that some tasks are more important than others, right? So you might think that somehow being an usher at the service is less important than the guy giving the sermon. It's not true. Simply not true. But if that's all it is something to do, right, then it's hollow. It also changes the priority in your life. If it's just something that has to get done, right, and you're asked to do it again, well, let me check the schedule. Well, doggone it, I don't have anything that day. Yeah, I guess I will, right? Or, well, somebody has to do it, so I guess, yes, I'll do it, right? No. We need to move past that, not just a task to be completed, but it's a ministry to be a part of. It's ministry to be a part of. It's a way in which we can respond back to God. Let's go back to Colossians 3, verse 24. Knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the inheritance as your reward. So he says, work at it heartily for the Lord, not for men. He says, and then knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the inheritance as your reward. What's this inheritance that he's talking about, right? He's referring back to chapter 1 and 2 of his letter. If you're here last week, you might recall that I said chapters 3 and 4 are all built on the foundations of chapters 1 and 2. Chapters 1 and 2 lay a foundation, and then all the implication of the argument that he set forth is then included in chapters 3 and 4. This series of messages is all based on the foundation that's laid in chapters 1 and 2. The foundation is basically this. We were dead to our sins. We were spiritually dead. God had to come to us, and he did so through his son, Jesus Christ. And through Jesus, our sins have been forgiven. That's what he accomplished on the cross. And then he has given us a new life. This is the higher calling that we have, right? He called us to faith, and now our life is a response back to what he has done for us. So this is all built. This is the inheritance he's talking about. This is the new life that you've been given. Now, if you have this new life, well, then all of a sudden, everything that we do, we have a different perspective on it. It isn't a job that just has to get done. This is a way in which we can serve God. Listen to how that verse ends. He says, you are serving the Lord Christ. He says, here's your reward. Right? And you are serving the Lord Christ. It means everything we do, every job, every task, everything that's accomplished, we're serving the Lord Christ. So let's bring it back to our congregation. You're not just handing out bulletins. You're serving the Lord Christ, and you're serving his people. You're not just putting out communion ware. You're serving the Lord Christ, and you're giving the opportunity for his people to taste and see that the Lord is good and receive his forgiveness and love, right? When you're mowing the lawn, trimming the bushes, or the plethora of other things that happen in this congregation, it isn't just a job that has to get done. You're serving the Lord Christ. This is a way of responding back to him. This is part of your higher calling that he's given to you. And it isn't limited to the church. It isn't limited to just here. All aspects of our life. This is the gift that God has given us. That means everything that we have to do, this is an opportunity for us to serve the Lord Christ. When I clean the bathroom, I can serve the Lord Christ, right? When you're doing your jobs, when you're accomplishing things, all of that can be in gratitude and in reflection back to God for what he has done for you. It changes our whole perspective on the things that we enjoy doing and even the things that we don't enjoy doing. This is what happens when you move from just a task that has to be completed, understanding that everything we do can be used by God and for his ministry and to bring him glory. So it doesn't matter whether we're going to work or we're coming home from work. We do it all for the Lord Christ. We answer his call when we move from task to ministry. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, there's so many things that we are called upon to do every day, and some we just don't like. And so we ask that you would change our attitude and give us a different perspective so that we could serve you and serve the one that you sent, your Son, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.